Good morning, boys and girls, moms and dads, children of all ages, ships at sea, people on the rocks, people having drinks on the rocks. Yes.
Nice.
I think that could work. Yes.
Especially with the warm air out there.
I actually, you know, normally I'm a kind of a vodka tonic guy, but I honestly think a little vodka, some grapefruit juice, cranberry juice, a whole lot of ice, that would be real nice right about now.
Be pretty refreshing.
Well, they call it a sea breeze. I know it's a little girly, but, you know, I've got a feminine side. I can be
confident enough in my manhood I could drink it.
Yeah, that would be, I think, the ideal thing to get into right about now. Okay, enough about my musings of that. Anyway, we're going to go on to the Area Fishing Report and Peace River, sponsored by PC Solutions of Arcadia. PC Solutions, yes. They are also in Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda, and for that matter, I think almost anywhere in the country, because they can log in. Now, I'm not sure if you're in Canada, because I know we have Canadian listeners, and we really appreciate that. Thank you very much. But I don't know if they can log in. I don't know if the keyboard would be the same. I don't know if American computers speak Canadian computer. I don't know. Is there a language barrier there?
You know? I don't know. That's a Vinny question.
Well, you got to go through and type the sentence and go A on the end of it. You know, I don't know if there's an A button or not. I don't have one on my computer, but I'm sure that on the Canadian computer there must be. So, you know, so if you're in Canada, maybe they could help you, maybe they can't. But I'm sure the U.S. keyboards, they could probably help. All right, so give them a call. Up on the Peace River, there's snook up at the Shell Creek Dam. Steve, the black one, not the one-legged one, was up there catching snook the other day on a blue mackerel sabiel, the suspending one.
That's pretty interesting.
Twitching along, and he said he was doing pretty good with it. He caught a couple snook. The biggest one was short of slot, I would say 24-25 inches, but
for this time of year,
as soon as it chills out, there should be some bigger snook up there,
right?
Yeah. You got anything else up on the river?
I've heard of some baby tarpon right there by the railroad trestle. So guy hooked two of them.
How'd I do for pretending that was the first time I've said that today instead of having
to? That was right on.
Yeah.
That was right on. You did a perfect job.
Your poker face was
amazing.
Yeah, we've been trying to get this done. We've had to restart this two or three times.
So. What is the river doing, by the way?
I don't know. Hopefully the computer's working fast today. Okay, fishandfranks.com. Scroll down the thing that looks like a thunderstorm. That's weather and tides. Go to the bottom of that page. Click the Peace River button. And there it came up. The bottom graph shows the height in Arcadia. And what we're looking for, 2 feet or less. There's no water flowing at us. It's at 6.5 feet. Bounced up to 7, but already dropping back just a little bit. So we've got around a 5-foot wall of water coming at us. With 1,760 cubic feet per second.
That's a lot of water.
1939, there was 10,400 cubic feet per second.
Jeez.
I mean, it's at 7 feet right now with 1,700.
Right.
Okay, that massive flooding.
9.5 times a mile.
That's massive. That's unbelievable.
Wow.
You know, wow, I wonder what...
What catastrophic effect went on then.
Yeah, we're actually, you know, about average. I mean,
right.
1860 cubic feet a second is about where it should be, but 10,400? Oh, my God. 1939 was a booger, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Wow. And that's when they had all the industry on the river. There was phosphate mines and shipping and barge traffic.
Cattle and commercial fishermen. And
wow.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
That had to be fun to navigate then.
Yeah.
Watch out for the palm trees.
Watch out for everything coming down the river. There'd be
that's
houses
Fred's house.
Coming down. Yeah. Gee, I didn't think Fred was moving to Port Charlotte.
Right.
I thought
he's relocating.
No. Yeah. All right. Going down to the 41 Bridge.
It's honestly, I've had one report last week. It's been pretty quiet there. The guy caught one juvenile tarpon. He was super stoked because it was his first tarpon that he's ever caught. And he caught it right there at the that power pole park.
Yeah, right off the corner.
Yeah. He had a redfish that he had on, but it got up next to the sea or next to the rocks there, and it came off. But he said overall it was pretty quiet, but he was more concerned with just being happy that he caught his little tarpon. And we caught that on a pinfish. So it made his day. He was all smiles with that, except for he said he was by himself, so he couldn't get a good picture of it. He was kind of bummed about that, but he was still happy nonetheless because he got it.
Well, it's kind of like when I go out, I'm trying to do articles and stuff, and I go out with my dad, and, you know, dad's over 80.
You're taking my picture.
Oh, he doesn't mind it when I take his picture.
Oh.
When he goes to take my picture, you know, so I can put myself in the magazine or get a picture with me. The iPhone that I have that I used to take pictures with, if you keep your finger on the button, it takes a burst of pictures.
Yeah.
He took 132 pictures of me that once.
Nice.
Yeah. I highlighted him and said, do you want to delete these? And he had his finger half over the viewfinder. So,
oh, even better. Perfect. Yeah.
So I was able just to highlight him, you know, in a row. And, do you want to delete these 132 pictures? Yes.
Yeah, let me think about that one. Yes. So, that's funny.
My dad can outfish me, but he can't use a camera worth a damn. All right, Lashley Pier. I can't imagine anything's going on there.
Nope, I have no report there at all, to be honest with you.
No reports. Question marks mean no report. All right. Bayshore Pier, sponsored by our friends. And I can honestly say that it's like friends at the Centennial Bank.
Oh, yeah, it's more like I'd go even closer, like very close friends, almost borderline family.
Yeah, I mean, everybody...
I mean, she yelled at me that one day for walking over there and wanted to give me a ride back. Seriously. She's
it's,
like, are
it's
you
literally like
okay?
Your sister or your cousin. Were,
yeah.
You can't walk here. I'll give you a ride.
Does Terry know you walked away? Does Frank know you're going to walk back? I'm like, yes, fine. Just let me make it across Bayshore. I'm perfectly good. I got to make 30 feet. I'm clear. As long as nobody drives up on the sidewalk, I'm okay.
Yeah, Robert's eyesight is not very good. So,
but they're just genuinely good people and helpful every time.
Yeah, it was funny because I was having a very hard time convincing Robert to go open up an account there, you know, put his paychecks and stuff in Centennial, because everybody kind of used to whatever bank they have, whether it's good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finally said, come on, you're coming with me. We're going to go do this. And... Yeah, you walk in, you sit at Katie's desk, and next thing you know, you're like, yep. Oh my God, is there another bank in the world? No.
Right.
So, yeah. And there's a lot of good people working at banks. This one's just unreal. So anyway, enough BSing about Centennial and the folks over there. All right. They are going to be helping us with the tent sale again. If you were here at the tent sale last year, you met a lot of the girls from Centennial. They're the very, very friendly bunch there, but there will be an actual Centennial set of cash registers there, and all the girls from the bank will be over there, and the guys, and but you'll be able to meet them all in person at the tent sale. Alright, we're at Bayshore Pier. I feel like, I can't remember the guy named the I don't remember his name.
Nope.
Yeah, he used to be on Dean Martin show all the time.
Yeah, I know the voice, I just can't place the name.
Yeah, I know. He was the alcoholic on the Dean Martin show. Bayshore Pier.
The only thing I've heard about is a lot of guys are seeing juvenile tarpon rolling all over the place throughout there, both piers, both within casting distance and just outside of casting distance. But I haven't heard of any real legitimate fish hooked up at all.
All right, here's my advice. If you're on Bayshore Pier and you're seeing all these tarpon, you're going to be doing exactly what I did and not what my father did. You are going to be throwing every jerk bait, crank bait, every type of subsurface lure you can think of, a DOA, a bait buster, a terrorize, the little rattle traps and all that. Take a topwater lure, a skitter walk, a Smithwick devil horse, a head and torpedo, the larger size. Even, I would honestly bet you could take a mid to larger jitterbug and just wreck the tarpon over there with them. Any topwater, they just go crazy on, and they won't hit anything else.
How does that make any sense?
Not one of my lures could I get those tarpon to get. Dad, right off the bat, he took out his topwater, started sketching it, but now it does have to start and stop. It did not work on the continuous surface retrieve, but work at about 2 feet, stop. Work about 2 feet, stop. And pause 1 to 2 seconds before you do it again, at least, maybe a little longer, and you will hook those tarpon up. I mean, I watched Dad do it. I threw the box at him because I was sure I was going to get them, and nope. I switched over to top water, and they started blowing up on it. I missed a couple. Said, okay, that's good. We got to get out of here. We got to the next spot. We need pictures of different fish. But I will lay you odds right now. I got the price of breakfast. Bet you a top water they'll blow up on. So anyway, moving on. Port Charlotte Canal, sponsored by Ray Smith Excavating. And we are going to be calling Ray because next year we are going to be doing a March 24th, the big tent sale, but we have a brand new event that no one's ever done. And I'm sure between then and now somebody's going to try and copy this. We shouldn't be talking about, but I'm going to anyway because it was my idea. I'm the very first one to ever do it. And we are going to be doing a consumer new product showcase on July 28th next year. We're going to have massive tent set up. I mean, hundreds of square feet. We'll have somewhere around 50 manufacturers come with. And what they're going to be highlighting for you is classic products and brand new products. Some of them that won't even be available yet, but you will be able to do pre-orders on them. The same as I do when I go to ICAST. This is literally going to be a week or two after ICAST. And we are going to invite anybody with cool stuff. They do not have to be someone that we buy from. This is not going to be the regular. This will be all our regular vendors and suppliers, 30 some odd of those or more. But we are going to invite anybody who has cool stuff and let you guys decide, should we carry this or not? Let you guys decide if you want it. Robert and I have been making these decisions for 30 years. Robert's been making them 20, 21 years. We go to these shows and we're trying to decide what you like. Next year, July 28th, almost right after the big ICAST debut of all this stuff, all these manufacturers are going to be coming here to Port Charlotte. And the single offsite, one of the biggest and the only new product showcase. So you guys get to see everything right after ICAST. This is going to be awesome. I mean, really awesome. So stay tuned for more about that. Hey there, boys and girls. Let's see, the Port Charlotte Canal Systems. And I honestly haven't heard of anything. I don't really know what's going on in there. For some reason, nobody talked to me this week about the canals. Usually, I hear a few stories here or there or whatever. What do you got?
I've got, besides my own personal story, I've got one guy.
Okay.
And that's because he was driving by in his boat that fishes a couple days a week, and I got to chat with him from my dock.
Okay.
He's been fishing right there by Grassy Point and also going over to the Manchester and Ackerman waterway fish in that little area. Some juvenile tarpon, a few small black drum, a lot of small snook. Because he likes to troll in and out, which he's one of the few smarter ones that trolls on his way in and out of the canals. And he's also been getting some jacks. He did catch one redfish over there by the by where the old locks were at, and he said he had a couple other fish on that he thought felt like redfish, but he kept pulling the hook, so he actually came in to buy a slightly bigger hook because he was using pinfish and cut thread fins for bait, but he was only using a 1/0 owner circle hook. So I told him to come in to get maybe a 2/0 or a 3/0 if he's going to use that cut bait.
Yeah, I go a couple sizes bigger for cut bait than I do with live shrimp.
Yeah.
It especially with a circle hook, otherwise you just don't have enough to get them.
Yeah, it's usually buried too much in that meat to really roll up into
It points back on itself. So yeah. There, and when you have the inside of the hook full of bait, there's nowhere for the fish to get hooked.
Right.
So with a J-hook, once you have the point out, the point will go in and follow in. But a J-hook, that's a blunt edge. Or a circle hook is a blunt edge.
Right.
It it can't stick. It just rolls out once it's full.
Yeah. So the guy was pretty helpful, but that was honestly the only helpful report I had for that area.
What did Robert catch?
I've been catching a bunch of little peanut snook back there. A couple, I don't know, the biggest one was probably about 28 inches. One little redfish. And been seeing some juvenile tarpon roll, but can't catch any of those.
I fall back to what I said a minute ago. You have not used a topwater lure. I know you.
No.
You don't use topwater, and you need to start.
No, I've tried it back there so many times, I've just given up on them.
You need to do it.
I will.
You forgot. You know, I've been talking about topwater, you know.
Oh, no, I will try it now, but I've tried it so many times over the years behind the house and just with no avail, except for the only one time I've ever done good on a topwater back there is when we have the storm surges, like when a hurricane is 1,500 miles off the coast and pushes the water in when it dumps out hard. That's the only time I've ever done good on a topwater.
I don't know, because I've been talking about topwater ever since a tarpon came out. I'm using topwater. Okay. All right, we're at the Elgin Bean Pier.
It's still closed.
On the Mackinac River Bridge, and it's still closed. Okay.
It is still closed.
Still closed. That makes easy typing.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so now we're going to... Oh, that was sponsored by Action Appliance. Up the street to the left, right before Midway, kind of by West Tarpon right there. Super nice folks. They do work at my house. I think they're great. And always surprised by, we called and how quick the service guys call you back.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the one thing we're going to base this whole advertisement on. Go over to make an appointment, they say the service guy will call you. And he calls you.
He actually calls you
back? Okay, I'm just telling you guys, you know what it's like to deal with the chain stores and all these guys who are going to do this and going to do that. I don't care. They actually call you back. Enough said about, you know, the whole Action Appliance. They call you back. Okay. Great reference or recommendation. Murdoch Tire, sponsoring the Myakka River Systems. And that's my buddy Jim. And
can't say enough good stuff about him.
Yeah. I'm just a fan. And mostly because everything's computer and electronics. I can't run... I
can change a tire.
Yeah, I can change my tires.
But you still have to be careful of that sensor. It tells you your tire pressure is low.
I don't have one of those. I would kind of like it, but I'm unwilling to give up my 2007. Terry keeps saying, listen, you know, you're making a little bit of money. Why don't you get yourself a new truck, a nice truck? I said, I love my 2007. Because I'm a bit of a paranoia conspiracy theory guy, you know, as you well know. And a 2007 cannot be shut off with a laptop at the whim of the NSA or, you know, Detroit or any government agencies cannot hack into a 2007 truck and shut it off.
You're like Will Smith, you're iRobot, you're going to have the old school car.
Yeah. I'm not buying anything newer than a 2007. I will drive that 2007 Toyota truck till the day I die. You know, that's going to be it. Because I tell you, I like cash money or metals, and I like a truck that can't be turned off with a laptop. And so
very easily, yeah.
And as long as I have Jim up at Murdoch Tire, I will not have to worry. He will keep it running. It's got all that little computer stuff in it, but you cannot access it remotely. You got to plug into it. So, love my no access 2007 truck. Okay. Now, I love Vinny's new truck. I mean, oh my God, is that beautiful to drive, and it's got the auto this and the auto that, and I'm waiting for everybody else to get self-driving cars. Because I drive, you know, I'm your typical old guy driver. I leave 60 feet between me and the car in front of me. So if he hits his brakes, I can come to a stop reasonably. I don't have to jam on the brakes. Now I screw up every once in a while and I do dumb things and I forget where I am and, you know, typical old guy stuff where I'm not a great driver anymore because I can get distracted. But I leave a lot of space between me and the cars in front of me. I see a red light, I actually take my foot off the gas instead of stomp on the gas so I can get to the red light first.
Yes, so, I love that.
I'm sorry. I want everybody else to have self-driving cars, and I want to be driving a 2007 Toyota pickup. Okay. Murdoch Tire and Automotive, sponsoring the Micah River System, Micah Cutoff, Topeka Bay, Cattle Dock, 14-foot hole, and the Elgin Bean Ramp. What is going on?
There's been some juvenile tarpon in the morning and in the evenings right around the Eljo Bean Bridge. And then also down by the north end of the Myakka Cutoff and out in front of Tippecanoe, out in like that 3 to 5 feet of water area. You know, there's also been a handful of snook and redfish up inside the Myakka Cutoff, but you better either get there really early or really late because it is blistering hot in there. From what I'm talking to a guy that today. God,
I couldn't believe it because we went into Muddy Bay, which would be a very similar situation.
Yeah.
Thought I was going to die in less than 5 minutes.
This guy had his dog with him, and he told me his dog puked. And I'm like, really? You took your dog out fishing the other day in the heat? I'm like, he's like, he goes with me everywhere. I'm like, I get it, but there's a certain point of, I hope you took him home right away. He's like, yeah, I packed it up and went home. He says, I can't.
Yeah, but you reach over, you get a bucket full of water, and dump water on the dog.
Right? You just got to do it slowly. Because yeah, it's not as simple as, like, with human. They actually go into shock faster than we do.
It's a dog. Sorry. Throw water at it.
I like them better than most people.
I don't. I like people better than I like animals. You know, I'm not sitting here doing this with a chimpanzee, although, you know, we could
sometimes
work this out. You know? I would prefer you over a chimpanzee. I know, you know, I'm not one of these new age people that think animals are better than people. Mm-hmm. I have yet to see an animal, you know. Okay, they're fun. They lick you, all right? You know, but sorry. Okay, great. I'm a nice dog. Okay. Don't shed on me. All right. let's see. I can't think of anything else from there. South Cove Cove.
Question mark, question mark.
How did I know? All right, I'm hoping.
Did you get a hold of that guy from the fish club over there?
The Gulf Cove Fish Club, yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully, I was calling everybody this week, but we didn't get it together. Hopefully, Mondays are going to be, you know, the fish club report things on radio fishing, and I'll work it out on some of the fishing update stuff. The West Wall, sponsored by Luigi's Family Restaurant and Pizzeria. It just sounds so I don't know. Yeah, don't you know it's spicy Italiano? Okay, I have no idea what the Italian accent is.
Well, I don't know, you did a better job of it than Dave did.
That's where we have the fishing club meetings. And
just all around amazing food and a good family atmosphere.
It's a nice place.
It's a nice place where you actually feel good bringing your kids or just going to some adults and actually having an enjoyable moment. It's got that really kind of cool comfort factor.
Well, it's almost like a time warp because if you go into the bar there, because they have the full bar with the bar stools, you know, a real bar, and it sits right where, they have that buffet thing for like $6 or $7. I think it's Wednesdays, don't they?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of food. It's like $6 or $7. I don't remember. It's not a lot of money for the buffet. And it's some really good food. I ate off it the other night. I said, Dave, I'm going to eat off the buffet, okay? And they're usually breaking it down, but they had it open later because when we did the fishing club, because of that special they had, that's how I know they had it on. And it was good.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing I wasn't thrilled with was that white pizza. It had white cheese and the spinach and stuff, and I usually really like that. And I've had it there before and liked it. I didn't like that one. Is that weird?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Taste buds were a little off that night or something.
I guess so, but usually it's that white cheese and the spinach and all that. And, you know, I like that. But, boy, that one was kind of... So, the other ones were great. I had, I think... You know, it's amazing. I'm amazing. I'm not 400 pounds, right? You saw the plate.
I saw you eat. I was like, I was pretty shocked, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I stacked though. I had like a slice from like 6 or 8 different pizzas. This big pile of my plate. I was eating all the different ones. I got to that one white one. I wasn't thrilled with it. I thought that was, you know, in full disclosure. Now I've had it there before, and I thought it was good. That's why I took it again.
Right.
So, I'm going to have to say that I'm going to go with the one thing in Luigi's that I'm not going to be, you know, positive of is that stupid white pizza. Yeah. All right. So anyway, hey, you got to be honest in advertising.
Yep.
At least you should be. You don't have to be, but you should be. So there, I found something really iffy about Luigi's for you. All right. So anyway, on the west wall, and I know what he's going to say. I'm writing it down. Okay.
So I got to be Johnny Carson here and figure it out. Hold the envelope okay. up to my forehead.
I have
redfish
on the
west wall.
Oh man! All right. I know he's been saying this, and he's going on, and he was about to say, on the south half of the west wall, you got a lot of redfish and a bunch of snook there, all up under the mangroves.
They also have started to move up a little bit further north too. I've been getting some mixed reports with them starting to move up there. I think it's like if you start up there, it's going to be a slow start and gets better as you go south. Or if you start at your farthest point and work your way up, you're going to have really good conditions and then slowly peter out. You know, so some good news, bad news kind of thing, you know. There are some juvenile tarpon still moving around up and down on the, just on the inside of the flat there. And then there also has been an occasional larger fish and groups of fish on the outside of the bar chasing some of the small schools of ladyfish that seem to be disappearing and then reappearing on a fairly regular basis, because one guy will say, I didn't see a darn thing. Guy come in 2 hours later and said, oh my gosh, I whacked him. So I think it's just either you better be looking really good or pretty lucky at this moment over there with that. They have been
but
seeing
it's
some
out, that what you're talking about is happening there, but it's literally out in 6 foot of water or better.
Yeah.
That's been kind of the big thing. All right.
Still fun, though.
Mm-hmm. Moving us down to Cape Hayes, and this is sponsored by Finnor and the Lethal Spinning Reel, proving out to be strong, durable, classic, good reel. You know, $99.99 price tag, $100 range. And literally, there's a grouping of reels, and the Finnor's right there. And the one thing I'll say so far, now we've got a few newer ones we've been carrying, some of the other brands, but for the length of time that Lethal's been out, I think it has the lowest return rate of any reel we've ever carried.
I'd have to agree with that.
We got one back I had to fix, and one other one had a problem. It wasn't really a returnable problem yet. I forget what it was. But, I returned one and fixed one. Then I didn't have to replace it because it was a fairly easy fix. I forget what I did to it. But I remember I've actually taken one back, and I actually did a little fix to one. And a guy came in, and he took the, you know, there, when you take your spool off, you'll see a gear in there with teeth on it. It looks like a drive gear. Yeah. But it's literally, those are the bicycle spokes, and there's a little flap thing on the inside of the spool. That's the playing card to the bicycle spokes, and that's what makes your clicker work. But there's a little stack of washers that has to be on there, and he couldn't get his drag to tighten up. I looked, and all his line was loaded up to the front of the spool, and I went, okay. I pulled the thing off. Luckily, he had all the little washers stacked on top of the drag washers. I just took them off, put it back underneath the envelope, put the spool back on, tightened it up. All good.
Oh, done. Really? No, that's funny.
So, it's amazing. When I was first starting here, I didn't know where the drags were. And I took the spool off, and there was that gear and that little washer right above it. I'm thinking, that can't be the drag washer, but there's no other washers in here. You know,
right.
What is the drag washer? Well, I didn't know you had to take clip off, take them out of the inside of the spool.
Right. That's pretty cool.
But, you know, I was just like everybody else when you started out. I wasn't
sure.
Born with the knowledge. I ended up having to get laughed at, cajoled, teased, picked on, and taught all about these little things, and I just started tearing stuff apart to look at it, you know. Yeah. If you've got an old reel, you're going to throw it away anyway. Okay, I'm not going to use this reel anymore. Find out where the drag washers are. Tear that spool apart, you know, take the clips out. Look at the drag washers. Pull the side panel off. Look at the gears. That's what I started doing on junk reels. I said, what the heck? If I can't, even if I can't get them back together again, what's the difference?
Yeah. It's junk. What am I going to really do? Hurt it?
Right. I'm not going to hurt it. It's already bad.
Yeah.
And that's where I learned a lot about reels that way. But anyway, we're on K-Pays. This is sponsored by Finor. And that all was an ad for Finor, by the way.
Yeah, that
they should
good.
Pay extra for that. Yeah. Can you believe they actually? I can't believe I get paid for this stuff.
Right.
Okay. K-Pays.
On top of the flat, they've actually been catching a handful of trout.
Muddy Bay, too hot to be in.
Yeah.
Okay. I went in there. And lots of little mangrove snappers.
That's what everyone thinks is pinfish out there, and it turns out most of it's mangrove snapper, huh? Pretty surprising.
Yeah, you toss a shrimp or a bait up underneath the mangrove trees, you get within a foot, foot and a half of the drip edge of the mangroves, or under, and they will instantly start shredding your bait and taking it. We're using popping corks, and we're just pulling the corks under, and then the bait was gone. And it would just matter seconds, 30 seconds, and your bait was done, you know, probably in more like five. And I couldn't catch them, so I put on a Storm Twitch stick, pitched it up underneath the mangroves, twitch, tap, set the hook, and I either caught or snagged all these little mangrove snappers from 3-4 inches up to about 6-7 inches. And they're just like piranha in there. No chance for a bait to get, and you can't get a hook on them. They're so small.
Right.
You'd have to use a number 6 hook with a little piece of peeled shrimp meat to get them. Little tiny bluegill hook.
Still fun, though. I mean, if you want to have a good time on a little ultralight,
okay.
Make some good entertainment.
Take a lot of bait with you.
Right.
Take, yeah. Like, if you want to catch a dozen, take 3 bags of frozen shrimp. that's 4 dozen in a bag. And rip them in half, so you got twice as many.
That's a lot of bait to use up on a couple of them, guys.
As what? What's up in K-Pays?
On the harbor side of it, up in, like, that 2 to 3 feet of water, they've been getting some trout. A couple oddball Spanish mackerel. And then a couple of bonnet heads. But probably the most activity has been on the Boca Grande side, on that deeper trough running towards, you know, Turtle Bay. Spanish mackerel, some bluefish, a handful of trout, and then kind of a good mixed assortment of sharks. Mostly it's been lemons or moderate-sized black tips. So there's been some fairly good activity, and it seems to be a little better on that incoming tide because of the higher salinity, but they've been catching them on both tides pretty well. You know, a couple guys have been just like slow trolling along there, and other guys are anchoring up, so one is not necessarily better than the other right now. And the water is definitely darker when it's coming out. It's still a little dark coming in.
If you've got an outgoing tide and you have found white bait, thread fins, sardines, something like that, and you have it in your live well, do not go in those bays on the outgoing tide. Your bait will die.
Don't go in the flats or the bays.
In incoming tide, your bait's probably going to live. You got about a, I would say, 70-75% chance your bait's going to live if you're on an incoming tide in the first half of the bays. If you're on an outgoing tide, you got a 90% chance all your bait's going to die. So anyway, this brings us into the bait outgoing bait killing Bull and Turtle Bay. These bays are murdering bait at a rate that is just unprecedented in history. I don't know what it is, but they're just brutal. I don't know. I've tried to speak to them about it, but you know, I think they've become psychotic in their ability to, or want and need, desire to kill your bait on the outgoing tide in Bull and Turtle Bay. These bays are just off. They're off the chain. I can't justify their behavior. So anyway, is there any justification to these bays whatsoever?
Yeah, it's hot. It's hot and fresh water, so yes, it's.
No, I was thinking more like, okay, but you could still go in there and catch these fish because they're fun bays to be in.
Sure, they are. Just make sure you use dead bait.
Yeah. The joke's gone. The joke's gone. I
had
set
to kill
you
it.
Up,
it was
and
weird.
You're just you're getting as bad as Bull Bay itself.
Honestly, Bull Bay is better than Turtle Bay right now for a good mixed variety of stuff. out in the main channel part or the center of the bay where a lot of guys drift for trout. They've been catching a few trout, but they've also been getting some good-sized ladyfish, a couple of juvenile tarpon. There's even been a handful of redfish moving through there. And then, of course, right there at the entrance of Bull Bay on the harbor side of it, the redfish, some mangrove snapper, been a handful of flounder being caught there just at the edge of it where that big sand flat comes around both sides of it. And then, of course, a lot of catch and release snook. So it's actually been pretty good overall. You know, and it's such a peaceful, beautiful area to go back to. It just gets warm. If there's no breeze, it gets to be a little toasty for my enjoyment personally. But that's what it is about this time of year. You move around a little bit and keep it interesting and try to stay cool, especially back there.
Okay. And this is Cape Hayes Reef, and we need a little ad for the fishing club. The only cool thing about the fishing club is we've switched to a panel format, and this month's fishing club, we are going to be, we all have an assignment. There's Kale, Carl, Robert, myself, and we're probably going to pick one other captain to do this. They go out, catch a snook from land or water. You know, we will have land spots and water spots, but we're going to mark down and show you in an overall picture where it is and highlights and pictures of where we were, what we did, the bait we were using, the rigs we were using. I've already got mine done. I have my snook caught. I have the pictures of the island. You know, I'm putting that together, so mine is already done. It's embarrassingly done because I was out with my dad and I was trying to lure Nick. Anyway, but I do have mine done. And it's pictures of where I was. I'm going to show you what I did, how I did it, and so that, you know, that it's all going to be pretty cool. But all of us are going to do that. You're going to find where we caught our snook, see pictures of us with the snook, you know, to show that we did it and how we did it. So anyway, that's what's going to happen at this month's fishing club. And we are talking about the Cape Hayes Reef at the moment.
Cape Hayes Reef's got some Spanish mackerel on it. Been a couple of small sharks around it and even on top of it. Other than that, I haven't heard of anything else really to write about. It's been kind of quiet. Most of the guys have been driving past it, messing around for a minute, and then heading out towards the pass.
Okay. The guys went there to do the sawfish, and they caught a 9-10 foot sawfish, you said?
10 and a half.
10 and a half foot sawfish. They cut a incision in it and inserted a tracker and sewed it back up.
Yeah, pit tag. It's because all around the harbor.
Is that the one that pegs the sonar?
Yeah, the
stuff?
Ones you were using for the redfish a few years ago for that kids tournament. You know, it's all around the harbor and even out into the Gulf of Mexico. They got those fish sounding stations. So if the fish swims within so many feet of it or whatever.
And don't kid yourself. They're there to keep them commie rushkies out of the goddamn harbor. They're listening devices. So when you're out there talking in the boat, don't be surprised because they're listening to every word you say with that underwater listening device. Every word you say goes right to the NSA. We know this. We know they do it. You know, they're listening to the fish conversations when the fish are talking. We are not going to have to be worried about a Spanish invasion of mackerel because the government is already listening into the fish conversations. So, anyway, this is next one is sponsored by the Gasparilla Sound Tailing Flats, sponsored by Radio Waterline. And you can listen to them every Saturday morning on 92.9 Kix Country FM. Yeah, they actually made it to FM. And
oh, I'm not sure. I think you bribed them.
I didn't have anything to do with it.
I think Josh bribed them.
I'm 100% certain of that. I mean, you have to pay to be there.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I don't have the pocketbooks that those guys do, so we're not on FM. We're on FF.
Fish and Frank's.
Yes. This bet. Is where I can afford to be at, Fish and Frank's. We're on FF Radio. Okay. Let's see. Robert's a co-host. Josh Olive is a co-host, publisher of Waterline Magazine, and Captain Mike Myers. Got everybody in. Okay. If you want to actually listen to the shows, they're impossible to find on the internet. Literally impossible. And so click that icon, that says Radio Waterline. If you click there, it will take you to the old shows that you can listen to them on. It's literally, when Josh is trying to tell people, he's now telling them, go on the Fishing Report and click the Radio Waterline logo. It's the easiest way to find it. So
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I can tell you, try and get a search engine with it. It's hard. All right, Gasparilla Sound and Tailing Flats, what's up?
That whole area from Devilfish all the way up to Placida has got redfish scattered throughout the whole thing out on the open flats around all the little islands. A lot of catch and release snook. Most of them have been small. And then actually up inside, is it Catfish Creek that has Bogus Hole or is it Whidden Creek?
I don't remember. I think it's Whidden. I think Catfish is the one closest to
Placida.
Placida, isn't it?
Okay. Well, up in Bogus Hole, my nephew actually went up in there this past weekend, and he actually caught redfish and snook all the way up inside there, surprisingly enough, with as hot as it is. And he caught some fish up to 30, 32 inches, both redfish and snook. Throwing all artificials, he even caught one on a fly. So I was pretty surprised by that. So if you're messing around back in there, you might get lucky and get into a mess of other fish. There's also been some trout out on the open flats. Not a ton of them, but a handful of them. And then I've heard of a couple juvenile tarpon being seen in there, but nobody hooking any. So it's not bad. You know, that would probably be one of my more favorite spots to go to if I was going to fish for that kind of, you know, stuff, just because right. It's more open for me.
All right, the Placida Pier and the Placida Trestle, what's going on?
Now, the Placida Pier, a gentleman was in here yesterday and said it was closed when he tried to go in there the night before. So I haven't been able to verify that or not, but he said he tried to get onto it and it was closed, so he ended up fishing Coral Creek. But the boaters fishing from around the trestle itself, some nice mangrove snapper, a couple of incidental sheephead, a couple snook, and there's even been a handful of small sharks being caught around.
All right. Should we add the Coral Creek Pier to the fishing report?
Yeah, I think we could probably maybe incorporate that with the Placida one because it goes in and out so often, and it seems like we get more reports there in the wintertime than any other time.
Yeah, I just didn't know because... all right, I'll add that to the, you know, the names up here. I'll put the Coral Creek one there because I literally forgot about Coral Creek. And it is a pier, and with 100,000 people a month looking at this fishing report, it's not fair if you're up north to assume they're going to know it's right there. I guess, you know, it should be on here so they understand it's there.
I think that's a good idea.
All right, so I'll just add that right to there. And then we can do the Placida Trestle and Coral Creek Pier because they're literally, if you park in the same parking lot for them, one you walk across the street, the other you walk up the, you know.
Got to walk up the hill a little bit and
you know, one you cross walk, the street. One you walk across the street to, the other one you walk the other way to. So, all right. Let's see.
And it can be pretty fishy at times, just not this time.
How about Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay, honestly, I haven't heard anything this week from my guys. They were actually in here yesterday, but I have not talked to them to see how they did.
No reports. The pier.
The pier is still doing good. The daytime fishing, they've been getting some mangrove snapper, a couple of different sharks, a couple of juvenile tarpon and ladyfish. The one guy caught actually a 14-inch flounder off there the other day. He said that was pretty cool because that's the first one he's actually landed. And that's about it. You know, the nighttime fishermen, I haven't heard much over there, but we will over the next 2 weeks, I'm sure.
Right. And this is sponsored by Custom Sight and Sound. They're up in Venice, and they do home theaters and systems in your house, TVs. That one TV you had there was awesome.
Jeez.
Amazing
scary.
TV. You know, if you're driving through Venice, going north or on the right-hand side, right as you come in on that first kind of curve as it goes in, but stop in and say hi to him. Julio is very, very good friend of mine for many, 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 many years, way longer than him or I want to admit. And just stop in and check out some of the stuff there.
It was pretty impressive.
You know, and if you're thinking about putting in a home theater and system installing, you know, getting it installed and all that, that's what they do. And so, anyway, good friends, super nice people. If nothing else, just stop in and go in. When you walk in the front door, look on the far wall, and there's this massive TV. It looks like a theater. I almost wish I had it. I bought the 65 because I went in there to get a 60, and I really wanted the 70, and I had to compromise with myself.
Right.
You know, okay, you only came here for a 60. You're not buying a 70. And so I bought the 65.
And I thought that was big.
Yeah. And then that thing has got to be 90 or 100 inches or better.
I forget what it was. He told me, and it was like, holy mackerel, and it's an actual real TV. You would think it was actually like a projector screen or something, but it's no, it's an actual legitimate TV.
No, I mean, that thing, it takes up a big part of the wall, but I got to tell you, as an actual guy, yeah, I could do a wall with that TV.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, you know, that would make, you know, why bother with, you know, putting a picture up and this and that, you know, I can see the wife and kids or grandkids or whatever. But outside of that, you know, a sailboat picture? No, do the whole wall in a TV.
Yeah. Betty, let's have a fire mantle and put the TV right above that.
No. Let's put the TV there and we'll stick the fireplace over on the other side. I have a fireplace, so I can't say that. All right. AFW sponsoring our fishing in the Gulf of Mexico. You will never, ever, ever find better products for the money or better products at any price than High Seas American Fishing Wire. And they're just awesome. And they're literally almost 100% reliable. I mean, within a percentage.
Yeah, they're pretty darn impressive. And their tolerances are absolutely amazing.
If it says 20-pound test, it will break at 20-pound or more.
Yeah.
That's the one thing, you know, a lot of these things, they say, okay, it's got 45-pound test steel on it, but you're putting pressure to it, and the sleeves pop off at 20 pounds.
Right.
The wire breaks at 45, but the sleeves pull apart at 20. If American Fishing Wire says a leader breaks at 20-pound, it will break at 20-pound or higher.
Right.
Every time. That's the one good thing about AFW. You can believe what the package says. And I don't believe most of the packages, because most of them, they can write anything they want on there.
Yeah.
Because there's no standard to adhere to.
What's the fishing industry? Is there ever anything real truth?
AFW.
I know.
Literally, out of all the manufacturers we deal with, over 80 different sources of buying and stuff to sell. We have over 80 suppliers now, and they're the one that literally, if it says it on the package, it's true.
Yeah, I trust it.
It's literally the only one. There's other ones that say stuff, but I know how some of them fudge results. So it is true, but not quite in the reality world that you and I live in, but in their world, it did do that. Like the drags on some of the reels.
Yeah.
It's a little reel, and it's got 180 pounds of drag, and it can lift Godzilla 5 feet off the ground, and, you know, really, give me a break.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Anyway, AFW Gulf of Mexico, I'm ready to type.
The Gulf of Mexico is by far the best thing going, and the weather's been absolutely amazing other than hot out there. I'm going to start at the farthest point and work my way in because it's been just pretty...
How many miles out?
35 roughly, you know, between that 70 and 100 feet of water range has been the best for red grouper and some gag grouper. There has been a few incidental kingfish out there, lots of bonita, mostly on the smaller side, like that 1 to 4 pound range. There has been a couple of blackfin tuna out there. The lane snapper and mangrove snapper bite's been pretty good out there, but you don't have to travel that far if that's all you're looking for.
How far out?
10 to 20 miles is ideal for the mangroves and lanes and porgies. Also, that same distance I've been getting some good reports of a few cobia, still some bonita, more Spanish mackerel, been a few assorted sharks, and an occasional permit. A couple of those reefs out there are still holding fair numbers of permit, but anyone who's been permit fishing before knows that they're a ghost. One day they're at this reef, and the next day they're at the other reef, so you just got to be, get out there and look for them, you know, try your best.
Okay.
You know, it's been pretty amazing fishing out there. You know, I was talking to Kirk earlier. He was 30 miles out, and they had a manta ray, a true manta ray, go under the boat.
Really?
Yeah. I thought that was pretty fascinating. I'd love to see one of those. I've only seen pictures of them. Never seen a real manta ray.
I'm not sure if I have. I was just going back through the memory banks, and it's possible, but I'm not sure that I actually have.
Yeah, I've never have. I've seen spotted eagle rays out there, you know, 15 miles, but I've never seen a true manta ray. That would just be awesome.
Yeah, I remember back in the 80s, we had a big ray go up underneath the boat, but I don't remember it well enough to say, yes, that was definitely a manta ray. I saw a big ray going underneath the boat, but I don't know what kind it was.
Right.
All right, this is the passes, and I don't know why that was not done correctly. I'll fix that right away while I'm here. I've been going through trying to get a lot of this stuff fixed. It has, you know, I remember why I didn't do that.
It's a choice of doing this 27 different colors. I mean, it makes it easy, but it's frustrating in the process of it.
Yeah, everything. I don't know why it's what that was wrong. Okay, I'm going to give up. I'm not going to fix that for right now. All right. This is the passes. Any of the passes. Anything at Venice, Stump, Gasparilla, Sarasota, Boca Grande?
Boca and Captiva are the only two I've gotten actually more than one mediocre report on.
Okay.
A lot of snook hanging out at both Boca and Captiva Pass, right at the mouths of it. And then a couple of the night fishermen that have been going out there drifting along the edges have actually been pulling up a couple of big bull reds. There are still a few sharks coming through it. But there has been some very large ladyfish there at night. Some of these guys are catching some true 3-pound ladyfish. And then during the daytime, the mangrove snapper seems to turn on that incoming tide. Even though they're there on that outgoing tide, I think that hot fresh water just shuts them down a little bit.
No, what was that?
The mangrove snapper.
Oh, the snapper.
Yeah. Guys are catching some, you know, 12 and 14 inch fish, but it's got to be that incoming tide for it to be consistent. And Boca Grande, it seems to be that southern side, you know, in that 30 feet of water range-ish, is by far one of the more productive spots. And then Captiva Pass is its own anomaly because it's just such weird different current and bottom there that those fish are scattered throughout the whole thing from one side to the other of the shoreline.
It was weird. I looked up when I typed in Boca, I typed in Boxca.
Nice.
B-O-X-K-C-A. Okay. Walking the Gulf beaches. If you're standing on land, casting out into the water from the beach, into the surf, what would you catch?
Well.
Or what's possible?
Out in Boca, we walked the beach the other day, and there was a lot of snook out on the beach. I just couldn't get them dialed in to chase or to actually take any lure. But every beach we stopped at to look and cast had snook swimming up and down along the shoreline. The only place where I've gotten some feedback as far as catching fish has been Stump Pass. And Stump Pass, the guy was catching some snook, a couple of ladyfish. He had one redfish follow his bait up and a couple of small jacks. He saw two flounder as he was walking along, but never hooked those fish. He actually spooked those up as he was wade fishing along the surf line and thought they were stingrays at first.
Gotcha.
Which I've done that before. Always kind of makes you jump.
All right, Punarasa Sanibel.
Nothing this week, to be honest.
Okay. And Coosatchee River, I got nothing. I haven't talked to anybody down there.
I've got nothing.
I haven't worked the other store down there this week either, so I don't. Every week, if I'm down there working, I always hear stuff. Matt Lachey, from the bridge, there's been some tarping at night. And the snook activity is getting better.
So are the mangroves. The mangroves seem to have really turned on the last several days in that whole area from the bridge and all the way down along some of those flats and some of those little oyster patches. Several guys have been talking about that lately. You know, and then there is a bunch of juvenile tarpon down there towards the Indian fields, or up above towards the Indian fields. The early morning bite's been good. Got that one, those two gentlemen that come to our fish club all the time. They've been out there fishing a little bit for them. And yeah. I'm going to tell them about your topwater lure thing because they couldn't get them to hit. They just saw them everywhere.
Well, I wish it was mine, but it's actually my dad.
It's all right. Yeah. You're the one that's sharing the information, so I'm going with that.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, I'll give him credit. He does that to me all the time, but, you know.
Oh, I know. So. Yeah, but you know what? You got to invent one of the coolest lures in the world by playing a game on him that actually works. So
yeah,
for
I
him
know.
To do one once in a while to you, it's still
once
okay.
Once in a while. Almost every time we go out.
I know,
it's been
but
almost, I mean, I count on my fingers the number of times I've ever outfished him. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way life goes sometimes, I guess, but still.
I have no ego problems about it, I can tell you. I have. It's all good.
Yeah.
I've actually caught fish in my
yeah,
life.
You've caught one or two, yeah.
I'm pretty good with everything. Okay. Pine Island Sound sponsored by Reaper Rods.
That I've been hearing a lot of good stuff about. Brian's been fishing it a lot. Brian Ball.
Okay.
A lot of tarpon cruising around basically from Yuseppa all the way down to just below Captiva Pass out along the intercoastal area. There are some fish hanging out in some of those really deeper sand holes in that 8 and 10 feet of water. They're mostly catching them on bait busters. They are catching some of them on pinfish and ladyfish. He also is saying that there's been quite a few good-sized black tips and some smaller Atlantic sharpnose cruising back and forth with an occasional bull shark. He's also been doing fairly well on mangrove snapper, some redfish, quite a few catch and release snook of all different sizes, even some pretty good over the slot fish that he's been catching around just about any one of the islands, no one particular area over the other. He's been catching his on pinfish, a little bit of white bait that he has been finding down there with semi-consistency, and also the ladyfish, chunking them up. So it's been pretty good down there.
All right. Which brings us up to Jug Creek Shoals. And that's sponsored by JT Custom Pools. Going back to Reaper Rods, you know, they're a little on the expensive side. But if you're throwing lures all the time, spend the money on the Reaper. Right tool, right job. And if you're throwing bait, Tim ain't gonna like it, but as I always say, I'm not sure I can sell you. I can sell you a $6,800 rod that's gonna do that just fine. But if I'm throwing lures all day to get the most out of everything, Reaper does it.
Right.
And I can't wait to try it. You know, when that new pen reel comes out, I'm waiting for that lightweight pen reel with machine cut gears and the great drags and everything else. And when and if we get them, and it's going to be a matter of when. I know they are coming, but God, that would a Reaper ought to be awesome. You know, a good place to practice is if you want to practice, you know, throwing lures, have JT Custom Pools come over and install a pool at your house, and that way you have a place to work your lures. What's going on, Jeff?
No, just drink Goldie one up here for
the Fort Myers. Oh, gotcha. All right, Fort Myers stuff is actually selling things in the Fort Myers store. Yippee.
Not a bad thing.
Okay, Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla, the redfish over by the kind of mainland, question mark. Spanish house place, and up on the islands. Now, out on the sandbars,
been some Spanish mackerel and a few trout, and honestly, that's really all I've heard about. It's been good mixed bag of stuff, but it hasn't been super consistent with report wise.
Right. Okay, Burnt Store over to Two Pines, sponsored by Shimano. I just got off the phone with Shimano just a few minutes ago, and it's funny how the right person in the right place. Our new Shimano guy is great. He's just awesome.
And he answers the phone about 85% of the time.
As I say,
and he calls you back at least 99% of the time.
95.
In a reasonable amount of time.
95.
Okay.
I'm going to give him a lot of credit, but callbacks is you're giving him a lot more credit than I do on it. But the reels themselves, I actually am selling CI4s with confidence, if not even a little pride. And so the CI4 is well worth the money. Not sold on the Nasi, their $100 reel. It was my ranked 5 out of 5 for as far as reliability. I think it throws well. It's just not the most reliable reel Shimano's ever built, that Nasi. I think that's one they could replace.
They should have stuck with the Symmetry.
What's that?
They should have stuck with the Symmetry.
The Symmetry was a great reel. They've got a lot of good reels they're coming out with. Things are a lot looking up for Shimano. They're going back to old school basics of more putting money into the reel to charge money for it rather than taking money out of the reel and charging more for it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound like a lot, but that's an awesome thing for a company to have. It's hard for them to relearn once you've been on top. And at one point in history, Shimano had the best reels in the world, period, and the best price points, the best dollar value. Everything you could say good about fishing tackle was in Shimano, their rods, their reels. And just like every other company who hit the top, they screwed it up, and now they're coming back. And it's much harder to come back the second time.
Yeah, it is.
I give Penn a lot of credit. They were down in the dumps. I mean, we threw them out of the store for, what, 4 or 5 years?
At least.
Wouldn't even consider selling them because they were garbage. And now they're the big dog. And so coming back from oblivion is tough. And Shimano didn't go to oblivion, but they came close.
Yeah.
And they're building their way back up. So kudos to Shimano. Keep it going, guys. You're on the right track. Things are looking up in the world of Shimano. I'm actually, you know, happy with that. Burnt Store to Two Pines. There's a lot of snook over in the Two Pines. And
a good mix of redfish too, from what I've been hearing inside that area. Those deeper troughs that are underneath all those mangroves down there is pretty impressive, which you showed me for the first time years ago. That's just a pretty fascinating area, the way they bucket off into 2 to 5 feet of water right underneath a mangrove bush.
Oh yeah, and there's a couple of them that go down well over 10 feet 15 20 feet deep. It's amazing what you can find in Two Pines. But go in there at low tide, so you got the water coming in with you, and work that incoming tide and just kind of idle back in amongst the islands. Make sure you have a GPS if you're planning on going more than 2 or 3 islands in.
Yeah.
Or a compass. You just remember, west will get you out. The compass is a good idea. I'm one. I have a handheld compass in my ready bag that I go fishing with, because I've had the electronics on my boat fail a lot. So, all right. Anything on the outside of the bar there, Two Pines?
There has been a few pompano. And then out just a little bit farther in a little bit deeper water, they've been getting a few Spanish mackerel and a couple baby bluefish. Other than that, not a whole lot. We're usually used to hearing about some shark or some tarpon, but I just haven't heard anything from that perspective.
Okay. Which brings us to the east side of the harbor, sponsored by Akuma. Some great products from Akuma. Boy, their rods are really coming on.
I like their rods a lot. That Shadow Stalker and Reflections are two of the most incredible rods.
You know,
especially for a two-piece rod, that Reflection is amazing.
Well, I had a woman yesterday, and she had the $99, I think, Shadow Stalker. I think that's their $100 rod. And she had a $150 rod. And she was there dead neck and neck. We did all these tests, and we went through 20 or 30 rods. We finally boiled down to these last two. And, you know, we went out. I mean, we even got to the point of put matching reels on them, took them outside. She pretended casting, and I said, well, she says, I don't know. I like them both. I says, do you like one at least a little better than the other? She says, no, I just really like them both. I said, why are you buying the $150 rod? Buy the $100 Kuma rod. Why would you spend $50 more if you can't tell them apart?
Right.
If you don't like, I said, is this one worth $50 more to you? She's like, no. I said, so here, now you have an Akuma rod. And, you know, but that's the way you should do stuff.
Absolutely.
But kind of kudos to Akuma for coming up with some rods that, like you say, the Reflections and the Shadow Stalker. And they have other ones. I mean, we've been selling several Akuma rods for years, the Cedros for offshore, and actually, you know, but, and one thing I'll give Akuma a lot of credit for, two-piece rods are a booger to find.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I called the largest distributor of fishing tackle, you know, largest wholesaler of fishing tackle in the United States, and said, I will buy two of every medium, heavy, two-piece spinning rod you have. And she said, really? And I said, yeah, I'll buy two of every one you had. And she's thinking, oh, my God, this is going to be a great commission. This is going to be thousands of dollars. I didn't buy any. I ended up buying two of one medium action two-piece spinning rod. They had no medium heavies anywhere in existence.
Nope.
We tell this to Akuma, and they make us, for us, this beautiful two-piece, which I actually, it's less expensive than the $100 one, but I like the less expensive one, the $60 or $70 one. I like that better than the $100 one, but that's personal preference. But anyway, so Akuma, very reactive, consumer-oriented, looking for, you know, what you actually need, because if you live right here and you're going back and forth to the water, one piece rod is great. We're 2 minutes from the water. But if I got to travel from here to Tampa, or let's say I'm going to Istapoga or something like that to meet somebody, having a one piece rod's a pain in the butt.
Right.
Two piece rod is so much easier. And so, you know, Akuma's got it. Some of the best two piece rods in the industry. Some of the only two-piece rods in the industry.
Right.
So if you're looking for that great, wonderful multi-piece rod, look to Akuma. All right, Hobbs Point, Pirate Harbor. I can actually give you a report. I was just up in there, tarping along the mangroves, early up to about 9 a.m. And then they are gone. But they will hit top water lures, as my father find out. The snook, they like the new Rapala ripstop.
Yeah, I've heard they've been doing good on those over there. We've actually restocked that that rack. I think we're on its third or fourth restock easily. The one guy came back and bought two more.
Yeah.
He loved the action. He thought it was pretty fun. It was so different. It took him a little while to get it figured out. But he said that once he dialed it in, because he talked to you after he bought the first one.
Yeah.
And he said he finally got it figured out, and he's starting to catch some snook pretty regularly. He got
twitch, fish, pause.
He got a trout, and he got a 29-inch redfish, I think he said, on it. He was super excited.
I'm going to say, and I've been saying this is my new favorite lure, and that's not true. This is my brand new favorite, my second favorite lure. I had to go back to the Storm Twitch.
It's so consistent, works in so many different conditions. How can you beat it?
I was hoping I love this new Rapala ripstop. I love the different action. I like, you know, I'm throwing something new and different and all that. But it is number two to the Twitch.
Yep.
God, I don't know if I'm ever going to find anything that can beat that $6.49 stupid little
Twitch. That's the other thing. I mean, it's not just that the lure works so unbelievably well. it is so priced properly. I mean, it's not
$6.49. I mean, the Twitch or the rip stop's $9.99 or $8.99, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But God, I was so I thought this was finally going to be the one that beat the Twitch. It didn't. So when I needed to find out what all those fish up against the mangroves were that I couldn't catch on a shrimp or anything else, that's I tried to rip stop. And it was okay, but I put the Twitch on and boom, I started, I either caught or snagged the fish. They were so intent on just eating at that lure. They're right there with it. So,
yeah.
You know, that's I'm sorry. Lure. Okay. Anyway, takes us up to Alligator Creek and Ackline HR. Absolutely. If you're looking for HR, payroll, workman's comp people, I highly recommend them. I don't know if you're going to save money or if it would cost you less or more or the same to get them. I am there because they are responsible for everything. That's my biggest thing. I don't care if you have a payroll company doing it. Call them and ask them if they mess up your payroll taxes or your workman comps payments. Are they going to pay the fines and interest and penalties?
Right.
Because they're the ones doing it for after all.
Right. It was their mistake. Why should you have to eat their mistake?
And I will bet you they say, no, we don't, we're not responsible for fines and penalties. Don't say anything to them. Call Ackline HR, get your account set up, and then go back and fire them. You know, if they're not willing to take responsibility for the work they do, can their butts and hire Ackline. That's
right.
That's there's your test, because you know what's the difference if it costs you $5 more a week or $5 less a week or $20 more or $20 less?
Not for that kind of safe sanity to have when you go to bed at night.
Exactly. So we are at Alligator Creek. What's going on Alligator Creek?
At the mouth of the creek, lots of catfish. There has been a couple of trout and a couple of redfish. Moving up inside, going into the Burnt Store Isles area, been some mangrove snapper, a few baby tarpon, and then there also has been an assortment of black drum through there, you know, of both nice eating size to, wow, look at the size of that fish, you know, there's been a good mixed bag up there. It's just been that stretch from the mouth all the way up to, say, the boatyard right inside there where it's been a little iffy, but fishing overall is not too bad. I like trolling in and out of there too, because you just never know what you're going to hook into. You know, this time of year I don't have super high expectations other than maybe hopefully a jack or a tarpon, but in the wintertime and into the springtime, some of those snook and juvenile tarpon back there are pretty amazing.
So, alright. I don't know why, but my fingers want to reverse the T and the H and the. I've constantly go back and fix it. What happened to my hands? I used to spell the correctly. I keep looking. It's H-T-E every time. And believe it or not, you type the word the a lot.
Exactly.
And I keep looking. H-T-E. Why did I do that? Okay, Ponce de Leon Park.
It's an autocorrect at this point.
Yeah. Ponce de Leon Park.
Ponce de Leon Park's been a little quiet. There's been some mangrove snapper there and a couple of catch and release snook, but overall, relatively quiet. You know, but that water is super, super dark going through there. You know, that's where we were at with Carl the other day, and it's coffee. Even on that incoming tide, it's still pretty dark through there.
Yeah, I almost bought an underwater light from a guy. He's got one he wants to sell. And I thought, because he's talking, it's so bright, you know, that
right.
It's unbelievable. But it was 65 pounds.
Wow.
I guess this company makes lights for, like, the fountains in Las Vegas where they can't move.
Right.
And so this is the kind of base they were putting on them.
Jeez.
I said, how do you get it? Well, he's in the water. It's not that heavy. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I got to carry 65 pounds down to the water.
Right.
And then get it in without you know,
it's a 65-foot walk from the driveway to that spot. Trying to lug that by yourself, man, that's terrifying.
Yeah, but how do you get it in the water at 65 pounds? If you drop it, it's going to leave a hole.
Sink down,
flood the neighbor's house.
10 inches into the mud. No, there goes my light.
Good God, 65 pounds.
That's ridiculous.
But anyway, brings us to Port Charlotte the PGI Canal Systems in Punta Gorda, Punta Gorda Isles Canal Systems for all those, and that's where Shaw Harbor Construction Incorporated Custom Home Builders are located, right there in Punta Gorda. And if you're thinking about moving to the area, give them a call. Not only do they build houses, they go fishing, and nice people. You're going to have good time, and you'll get a great product when you're done. Let's see. So what is Charlotte Harbor Construction Incorporated Custom Home Builders of 512 East Marion Avenue in Punta Gorda doing with the, what are they sponsoring in the canals? What fish are there?
It's been an assortment of black drum, a lot of juvenile tarpon inside there. The mangrove snapper bite has started to finally pick back up after the last few weeks of being kind of mediocre at best. You know, but it seems like the mouths of the canals, especially where they meet the harbor, have been the most productive. But the main thing is finding those canals that have got a fair amount of water flow seems to be the best bet. You know, cast up underneath the docks, you know, cast around some of the boat lifts and stuff like that. Just be cautious of the people's boats that are there, because you don't want someone throwing a sinker or a jig head at your gel coat on your boat.
Yeah, if it's a hard bait, don't throw it where there's a boat. If it's a jig, don't throw it to a boat. It's, you know, if you're free lining a shrimp or a white bait, you've got a popping cork on or something, a foam float, yes. But if you have something hard, if the guy came out from his house and walked back and started throwing rocks at your gel coat on your boat, how would you feel?
Exactly.
And that's what Robert's trying to say. Just picture you are literally throwing hard objects at what's either thousands, tens of thousands, or hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of boats.
Yeah.
It's the polite thing to do.
Exactly.
Nobody cares if you fish it, but, you know.
Yeah, there's a couple in there that do.
Yeah, but they're jerks.
Yeah, no, they've been there that way their whole lives. It has nothing to do with that.
And it's okay to throw jigs and lures and hard baits at their boats.
Right.
But there's a lot of nice people back there, and those are the ones I worry about. I mean, they're nice folks, and they really don't mind if you're fishing on the docks and stuff like that. You know, that's part of what goes on when you live on the canal. But they're the ones that I don't want to see their boats damaged, because they're really good people. The cranky, chronic complainer, whiny, complainy people, who cares if you chip their gel coat?
Right.
You know, we don't care.
No. So,
anyway, I don't care. Gilcrest Pier.
Crickets.
Okay.
I got to drive down there and check that out, because I don't know if that road's open back up yet again or not. To walk back out there on the pier and see how it looks.
Okay, my buddy Mick, the insurance guy, the Allstate guy. But, you know, if you're thinking about coming down to Florida for your car, home insurance, all the stuff, I have store insurance with him. I have charter boat insurance with him. If you're a charter boat captain listening to this, call him up. I had that national company. I had the one that the insurance company you guys have right now, I had them.
Right.
After years of paying them money, when I finally needed to turn in a claim, they wouldn't cover anything. That was a horrific waste of money. Call Grady. Call him. Get the insurance through him. He will explain to you ahead of time what they will and won't cover. The other one says, oh, yeah, we cover all this. We cover all that. Until it comes time for them to pay. And then, oh, my God, hoops and jumps. And
it didn't happen on the new moon of Tuesday of that month, so you're not covered. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, that was maddening. And so go to him. He'll take care of you. Alligator Creek Reef is what Mick Grady's sponsoring. What are we talking about?
There's been a lot of juvenile tarpon on it the last couple mornings. Guys are catching those on pinfish. A couple guys have been catching them on some small ladyfish. A couple even on some small mullet. There's also been some mangrove snappers starting to show back up on it again, along with an incidental Spanish mackerel. and a few small sharks. So it's starting to get some life back on it again, finally, which is good. But we always expect it to get just a little slow for some small periods of time this time of year, so getting some good reports is always pretty awesome.
Okay, the Deep Holes in the Harbor, sponsored by Seato, the crazy yellow boat that I am a member card-carrying Seato person. Yes, I am indeed.
Heck, I think you got the Lifetime Membership Award for them.
Yeah. And I never used it much, but the... You know, the first time I ever used it in all those years was just a while back. But boy, was I glad I was a member.
Absolutely.
That made every year, every payment I ever made worth it.
Yeah.
And all it did was bring me gas. Yes, I know. I'm not supposed to say, yeah, Fish and Frank ran out of gas. I still say somebody siphoned my boat, but I can't prove it. I am installing cameras, though, so if you are the one who I think siphoned boat gas out of my boat, I am warning you.
Right?
You know? All right. Anyway, Deep Holes in the Harbor, what's going on there? What is Seato sponsoring?
The main thing that's been scattered out there, it's just not heavily concentrated, has been tarpon. They've literally just kind of been peppered in all of the holes. On the southern hole or the Pirate Harbor hole area, there has been also some Spanish mackerel. A handful of small sharks. And then, of course, plenty of big catfish. Catfish have grown in size pretty well. A guy caught about a 5-pound sail cat, and he said they were chasing just about every lure or bait that he was reeling in, never mind the amount of them that he caught. And then I had to sell him a pair of the fish grippers because he had skewered the top of his hand with a stingray. The catfish itself. He was trying to grab it out with a pair of pliers, and it came unbuttoned while it was buzzsawing and came right down on the top of his hand. Not good.
No, you try and tell people, I think it's like $14 for that gripper.
Right.
The best $14 you'll ever spend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they last, I mean, I get years out of them. I usually figure I get 3 to 4 years out of a gripper, maybe longer. My dad gets used longer because when the rivets loosen up and start falling out, he replaces it with stainless steel nuts and bolts. You know, he just drills a rivet out, puts his own bolts in it, and then they last years and years longer. It takes a long time for aluminum to break down. They're made out of aluminum, by the way.
Right.
Okay, takes us out to the bait reports. Okay, white bait.
Anywhere? There has been some white bait right there at Pirate Harbor. And then Devilfish and Jug Creek starting to show up there with more consistency. And then out along the beach there's quite a bit of it, too. Most of the stuff that's out on the beach is a little bit smaller, so you gotta be real careful. Probably try to throw a quarter inch mesh net, or better yet, leave them alone and let them get bigger, have a chance to maybe breed. And then also getting some good reports of some pinfish in the same general locations.
Okay, pinfish. Where are we finding pinfish?
Some Pirate Harbor area, down in front of Burnt Store, the Marker 5 at Cape Hayes. And then Devilfish and Jug Creek both. They seem to be fairly, relatively abundant and a little easier to catch. There also has been some of those pigfish mixed in with them. Some people call them grunts.
Right.
Those have been in there pretty regularly with them too. And that's candy for big snook and tarpon. I love using those guys. You know, and they get fairly good size. I've caught them up to like 8 inches long. You know, it's just like pinfish. Some pinfish will actually surprise you where they're big bluegill or small crappie size. It's pretty impressive. Carl's kind of mastered that in a couple different spots, but he's catching those on hook and line mostly.
Yeah, well, that's the smart way to do it.
Absolutely. I would prefer to do it that way.
All right. I'm actually going to add the Spanish sardine report. They are in the harbor.
Really?
Spanish sardines in the harbor. You have to cast for them, and they're hanging out. You really got to blind cast for them, and you're just kind of going out in that area. if you went in a line from marker one to the Alligator Creek Reef off of Mangrove Point, and but nice bait, best there is.
And they're pretty easy. They like hitting a sabiki rig very, very well.
Yeah, I guess. I've only caught them with a cast net. But I've just... Really, you don't find a better bait than that. They are the bait of choice.
Yeah, I've caught them down there at marker six right. quite a few times throwing a sabiki rig.
Now, the freshwater reports here, canals, creeks, ponds, lakes, whatever they are.
Click on Morris.
Yeah, sponsored by certain water services. They do the water in our shiner tanks. We could not keep bait alive for about a year. Certain water came in, and this guy knows his water system. I just had him redo my house. And here's the part you're not going to want to hear, boys and girls. My wife drinks tea, I drink coffee, and we tend to drink it all day. It's, you know, everybody's got their thing. She drinks hot tea, I drink coffee. And I've always had some filters on my refrigerator. I use a carbon filter, 2 micron, and then the refrigerator filter. And then now certain waters come in and put a whole house super carbon something filter, and then the reverse osmosis on my refrigerator line. And during the interim, we were getting the refrigerator repaired, and we used bottled water for her tea and my coffee. Her teapot, she never changes the water out. That right. bottled water, there was scum in it. There was stuff building up on the sides of it after a while.
Wow.
Which we've never had. And now, when's the last time you went up to a faucet of any kind and just filled the glass up and drank the water?
Not without letting it run for a couple seconds or a minute.
But I mean, even then.
No, I don't like the taste of it at all.
But that's what I'm saying. When's the last time you enjoyed that? How about that?
30 years ago.
I challenge you, you can come to my house, take a glass of water, and drink it out of there, and you will. It's wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And that was certain water. They did that.
Well, that's what I'm drinking out of our filter back there in the back.
Yeah, it's funny when if you come in, I go back to the bait room to get my water for my coffee, and we refill our water bottles and everything. We're all walking back to the shiner tanks and turning the water on, because the water going into the shiner tanks is some of the best water in town.
People think we're actually drinking real shiner water, but it's just the system.
It's funny, so many of the guys that work here fill gallon jugs to take with them. So they have that for their stuff, and that's certain water. So anyway, we did a radio fishing freshwater report. Click on that with Morris Campbell. And he was saying bass were hitting, but I don't know if I have any local bass knowledge to put in here. Catfish on the 9 Mile Canal.
Catfish on the 9 Mile Canal and in Deep Creek area. Even some of the back areas where it's not deed restricted, where you can... You have to kind of know the area to get back in there. And then the bass have been also doing okay over there in Rotunda area. You know, so there's some activity around here.
Where are they hitting on in Rotunda?
The ones in Rotunda, the guys were buying shiners to take over there because that's what they were doing their best luck on. They tried spinner baits and worms, which they've been buying for the last couple weeks, and they said that bite slowed down just a little bit. So they opted for the live bait scenario. They were actually supposed to come in today and give me another report because they said they were going to go fishing.
Yeah. Even Austin went over to Rotunda recently to go bass fishing because in Rotunda, you can go bass fishing / tarpon / snook.
Exactly.
You know, those canals over there in the Rotunda area, find a place to get up and fish. And the bass fishing's pretty good as a general rule, but you can be fishing for bass and then the tarpon hits, or fishing for bass and possibly there's so many species back there, it's unreal. That's going to take us into the tarpon reports and what's going on in tarpon.
Tarpon have been a little tough the last several days. The only places I'm hearing about them have been, you know, around the El Jobin Bridge and Tippecanoe area, and then quite a few juveniles on the inside of the bar on the lower part of the west wall. And then out in the 20-foot holes, there's been some peppering of them. And it doesn't seem to matter if there's ladyfish around or not. But if you are out there running around the harbor and you see ladyfish going nuts, just need to stop, catch a ladyfish, put them back on the hook, and throw them right back out there and wait, because there has been those tarpon underneath them, but they just aren't showing themselves real well. You know, it's been okay, but you're going to work pretty hard at it to find those fish. There's also been a handful of fish over there by Whore Point and on Alligator Creek Reef, and once again, most of those fish are in that juvenile range from that 10 to 40 pounders, which now, for most people, that's fun.
When you put the ladyfish, are you putting it under a float or freelining it?
I generally put it under a float, because if I'm throwing them back out there fresh, sometimes they stay alive for a little longer than you would think, and I want to be able to see if he crosses my lines. Just makes it easier for me to kind of keep a visual on where he's at and what he's doing. If he dies, generally speaking, I will freeline that one and let it kind of do its own thing, whether it sinks or not. Most of the time, he sinks down quite a ways into the lower part of the water column. And fish, the tarpon will still eat the snot out of those. You know, there's some guys that think they absolutely have to be live ladyfish, but nah. That's why I always take a couple frozen ones. You've taught me that way so many times. It's stuck with me. Except for one and only time in the last 10 years have I not taken frozen bait out there with me to go fishing. And it was a bad mistake.
So, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I went shark fishing and forgot it. I actually forgot the bait here. You know, grabbed the shrimp because we're going to mess around with other stuff and forgot the frozen bait in the box. I'm like, really? Get out there. I'm like, uh-oh. Yep, that didn't work out too well.
I just did that the other day. So, all right. I think that brings us down to the... Yeah, that's at the end of the report thing here. So, anything else we should be going over?
Not really. Not, you know, the only common sense stuff. It's super blistering hot. Stay hydrated. And some of these thunderstorms in the afternoon have been some pretty good frog chokers. So, be really aware of where you're at when these afternoon and early evening thunderstorms are rolling in, because you do not want to get stuck on the wrong side of that when you're trying to head back home. Some of these are hanging around for several hours. They're not the typical thunderstorm that runs through in 15 minutes and it's back to hot and sunny and humid again.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. Usually you could count on a storm lasting 15, 20 minutes, you know. Occasionally you get something that'll last an hour, but boy, some of these just kind of set in for the evening.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, I am not on the water from 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock. It's too intense. Too much to be out there. So plan your trips early. I'm going to go out Sunday. I am planning on wherever I am at 10 o'clock, I'm going to look. And if it's not too bad, if there's a breeze, I might stay till 11. But I'm planning on heading back to the house at 10 o'clock. And then I can just work around the house where I can go in and out of the AC for the rest of the day.
There you go.
Because we caught a few fish after that. Now, if you got an incoming tide later in the morning, early afternoon, it's probably worth being there for that. But if it's an outgoing tide in the afternoon, pack it up, go home.
Yeah.
You know, it's not worth it.
No.
That outgoing tide isn't going to be your buddy, and all that heat and everything is not going to be your buddy. So, I'm going to try and create a tide flow map and slash chart thing to put up on the tide page so I can show in the summer where the water comes in, how it moves. I don't know if I can do it where it'll make sense, but I'm going to try. But anyway, on Radio Fishing, we are adding the Florida Freshwater Fishing, Florida Freshwater Report. I don't know if somebody says that. What's a good name for the Florida Freshwater Report? Because it's statewide. Because Morris goes everywhere.
Florida Freshwater Report. I mean, it covers all of Florida. Okay. It's not like you're saying Southwest Fishing or Freshwater Fishing Report. I mean, that Florida Report's pretty...
Florida Freshwater Report.
Yeah, it's pretty broad spectrum. I liked it. As soon as you said it, it clicked.
I just didn't know if somebody else was using that or not. I just don't like to copy anybody.
No, there's like the...
Yeah, there's all kinds of them, but I just didn't know if there was a Florida Freshwater Report.
Nope, okay. Not that I've heard of.
So, and we have the Area Fishing Report, which is what you are listening to now, and that kind of covers a little more broad spectrum, but we will be doing more stuff with more different things as radio fishing goes on. Mondays is going to be Fish Club and other things, and we still have to get back to FWC with more questions.
So, right.
Anything else, Robert?
Nope.
All right.
That was pretty good.
This is show 419. Wow. 419 shows we've done.
Jeez.
Which we should have done a lot more, but for those 2 years I was sick. So.
All right. Well, and time, too. It gets to be tricky. I mean, you and I can work a long day together, and we get more accomplished and talk more in the 10 minutes in the driveway at the house than we do all day working together, because we're both kind of going different directions and trying to help customers. It's hard to get this organized.
Well, that's why we're...
Because our hearts are in the right spot. We talk about trying to get to it, but...
That's why we do...
Sometimes the fish gods don't like us.
But that's why we took the ads.
Yeah.
So that we're going to have... We have the extra money, and several people have already paid for the ads for the year.
Nice.
So, you know, I'm kind of bound to do this now on Fridays.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, nice.
I'm getting
sucker.
Paid for it. You know, it was a lot easier to say, oh, we'll do it tomorrow when it didn't, you know, there was nothing there on it. But now there, it's actually
it's
people
like
have
being
paid.
A business. You actually got a timeline now.
Yeah,
darn it.
That's like a real business. Yeah, I don't want to get involved in that. Oh, that's wrong. Okay. Anyway, so thank you guys for listening. I can't think of anything else we need to jammer on about because we've talked way too much for way too long. Any last words of wisdom, Robert?
Nope. Not today.
Okay. Well, this is Fish and Frank and Robert, of course. I'm sure you know that by now. Let's see. If you're reading on the fishing report, you see fishing history behind something. That's where I'm storing the information, because you see, you know, we do reports in January, and then all of a sudden they're gone, and then February, and they're gone. Each one of those places on the fishing report, I've built a separate page for. They're not all in good shape yet, but I'm working on it, and I'm going to try and get all those fixed. And I'm adding some new photos to the east side, Turtle Bay and Bull Bay, probably today. We're going to be building some new pages here after the fishing club. Try and attend a fishing club this month. I think you're going to really enjoy it. All right. We will catch you on the next Radio Fishing, boys and girls. Bye-bye.